join me for the reading. This morning's Bible verse is from New Testament, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Giving you time to get your Bibles out. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. May our hearts and minds be receptive to this morning's message from Pastor Dwayne. Please be seated.
Thank you, Mark. Well, good morning, everyone. I'm so glad that you are with us here today. And as we have started a series a while back on What's Your Problem, we're going to continue on with that here today. And I know there's been a number of people that have sort of come to me and said, hey, you know, I needed that. I needed to hear that. Or they know somebody that's struggling and going with those problems. And so we may not hit every single problem in your life. We'd be here until Jesus comes and we did that. But hopefully some of the answers that you are finding in this series may relate to your problem as well. And so we're going to continue on with some of the major problems that we all face in our lives. And today we're going to be dealing with fear. We're going to be dealing with fear. Because we sometimes, I think, we kind of live in a fearful time, don't we? Remember we said in the very first message here in this series how Jesus came not only to die for your sins, He went to the cross for you, He paid for your sins, and as a result of that, we can have salvation. But He also came to help you with our problems as well. God offers you a new life in Jesus Christ. And with that power that He has given to us, He has given you the power to change. So if you're struggling in one of these areas, let me encourage you. Don't give up. And we have what we need. God has given us what we need in order to address those issues in our life. So today, we're going to be addressing the issue of fear, something that we all struggle with from time to time. And so with that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. And as we're praying, let's pray for those that aren't here today. That are maybe struggling with their health here today, because I think we've got a lot of people that's out because of their sickness. So, Lord, as we lift our voice up to You, Lord, and we come to the throne of Your grace, Lord, I pray that You would be with those that are not here, Lord, maybe those under the sound of my voice, maybe listening online a little bit later on today. Lord, I pray that You would be with each of them. I know there are a number of people that are out sick, and I pray, God, that You would be with each one of them. I pray that You would be with their bodies, Lord, strengthen them and encourage them, Lord, and build them up. And, Lord, I pray that You would just put a protective hedge around our church, Lord. We seem like we have a lot of people that are getting sick, Lord, and so I pray, God, for Your protection. I pray that You would just put that hedge of protection around our church, Lord, so that we can be healthy because we want to come here and we want to worship You, Lord. We want to come and open up God's Word and study it together. And so, Lord, I pray that You would give us the health that we need in order to come and do that. And, Lord, also I pray for those that are here today, Lord, that that may have some struggles with fear. There's some things in their life that they may be afraid of. And so, Lord, as we go through this, I pray that we'll take those truths, Lord, that we have in Your Word, and we'll apply them to our hearts here today, Lord, because as was read here this morning, You haven't given us a spirit of fear, but You've given us a spirit of power, sound mind. And so, Lord, I pray that that'll become a reality here today. And we thank You in Jesus' name. We do pray. Amen. Well, if you are a news junkie and you like to listen to the news, sometimes I find myself in that situation, especially when there's some things that are going on over in the Middle East. Sometimes I'll find myself, you know, glued to the TV, wanting to know what's happening, want to be there every step of the way. But the reality is, oftentimes on the news, you don't hear a lot of good stuff on the news, do you? They like to give you all the bad stuff. You know, we don't have these feel-good stories of all the wonderful things that's happening in our world on the news because that doesn't sell. People aren't really interested in that a lot, but they want to hear all the bad stuff that's happening. And so if you are one of those that like to listen to the news or like to listen to the radio, or maybe you jump on social media in order to get your news from there and find out what's going on, listen, it's easy to find hundreds of reasons in this world to fear. It's all over the place. We're surrounded by it. Man, we got hurricanes, we got the economy, we've got COVID, we got elections, we got wars and rumors of war, and as we've seen recently, we have the assassination of our Christian brother. Charlie Kirk. And it's all over the news. It's all over social media. And because of that, if we're not careful, we may find ourselves sort of living in fear. But that's not what God wants for us. That's not what God has for us. We kind of have a love-hate relationship with fear, don't we? how many adrenaline junkies do we have here this morning? Yeah, we got a few. A few of you raised your hand. Where you go and you put yourselves in situations where you get that adrenaline pumping and you scare yourself to death, right? You know, we like to be in situations like that where we go and we go and jump out of perfectly good airplanes and that's some of the things I'd like to do personally. I'd like to go skydiving. I'd like to get a chance to do that. And so when you get another pastor, then we can maybe have a discussion about that, and I'll go and jump out of a perfectly good airplane, as my mama likes to say. But I'd like to do something along those lines, or go skydiving, or go to a hang gliding, or you know, all those things, man. Those things really interest me. Some of you like to hang off the side of a mountain and maybe climb or rappel down. And so we got some adrenaline junkies here that they like things like that. They like to be scared and put themselves in those positions. And maybe some of you like some scary movies. You like to watch the movies because you like to be afraid. You like to be scared. I remember a time when I was young. Young and stupid. I was hanging out with some of my friends. And so we had the bright idea, or they had the bright idea. Why don't we watch a scary movie? All right, okay, great. Let's watch a scary movie. I'm not really into scary movies per se, but there was a few of the ladies there, and I thought, man, that would be a great opportunity for them, you know, to be frightened and afraid, and I could come alongside and put my arm around them, and they'd jump into my arms, you know, that sort of thing is what I was looking for. I really didn't care about the movie. But then they put a twist on it. They said, hey, you know what? We got some woods out back. Why don't we go out in the woods and watch this movie? And I thought, okay, hey, sounds even better. So we found about every electrical cord we possibly could. We went way out in the woods as far as we could, and the movie they wanted to watch was Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I wouldn't recommend it. But you know, hey, I wasn't there for the movie anyway. And so they turned on the movie, and of course, you know, you got the few frightening scenes or whatever, and you know, I'm here, honey. No, don't worry about it. I got you. You know, I got you covered. You know, I'm here. I'm not going to let anything happen to you. I'll protect you. And then it got to one of those scenes where, you know, it's like, you know, really things are going to happen. You know, it's really going to get bad. And then all of a sudden, from behind us, we hear this thing. And I was like, what in the world's going on? And we look behind us, and there's a guy back there with a mask on with a real chainsaw, and he starts coming at us. And we're like, you know, I lost my manhood that day. We jumped over the, we nearly broke the TV as we jumped over the TV, and we start running out of the woods. And come to find out, that was this girl's dead. He thought it'd be a great joke, man. He came around, and he didn't have the chain on the chainsaw just for our protection. But he came in and had the hockey mask on and had this over. And it really scared the devil out of us. So sometimes we put ourselves in a position where we like to be afraid. We like to be a little frightened and scared. There are times when we want to be scared. But none of us want to be held captive by fear. You see the difference. It seems like we want to be scared, but we don't want to be afraid. Interestingly, the most common command in the whole Bible is do not fear. Over 300 times in the Bible, God tells us, do not be afraid. I mean, that's a lot of times. That's a lot of times. And so God knew that this would be a problem for us. Today, we'll look at how to deal with the problem of fear in your life. My prayer is that when we're done, you will be able to echo the words of King David as he says in Psalm 34:4, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. That's my prayer for you here today. And I pray that that will be true in your life. So let's talk about the problem of fear here this morning. And yes, there are a number of different types of fear that are out there. Fear manifests itself in many different ways. There's a more serious and more serious ways includes like panic attacks, where it's defined as a sudden, brief episode of intense fear. Another phobia is defined as another fear is defined as phobia, and that is a persistent, irrational fear of an object or situation that presents no real threat. And so those are some of the more serious cases, but some of the most common phobias that you may hear about from time to time are things like elevators and bridges and spiders and snakes and clowns. Anybody afraid of clowns here this morning? I'm sure there's a few of you out there. Flying. Some people don't like to fly. And some people are have phobias of confined spaces. Legend has it that Napoleon Bonaparte was afraid of cats. As I've tried to confirm that, I can't confirm it, but he was afraid of cats. And and it's true that he would probably be absolutely terrified of the internet today if he had access to it. He's afraid of cats. But even aside from those more serious aspects, we struggle with fear at a basic level. In the most basic sense, fear is a problem because it makes us focus on our circumstances rather than focus on God. And the way sometimes I like to talk about this and describe it, in our life, we have, for those who are online, I've got one hand in front of my face and the other hand that's far from my body. And oftentimes we will look at God, our hand far away, we'll look at God through our circumstances. That's close. And of course, as it's closer, it looks greater, it looks bigger. And so sometimes our circumstances look much bigger and our God looks like a little God. And what I encourage people, hey, let's swap that around. Let's let God be close to us. Let's let God be the bigger of the two. And let's look at our circumstances through God, and then we get a better understanding of our circumstances instead of a misunderstanding of our God. Because our God is not small. There are 100 reasons for us to be afraid. But there is one reason not to fear that trumps them all, and that is God in your life. Think about that. But let's break this problem down even further. Why is fear such a problem in our lives? Why does God address it over 300 times in the Bible? Well, let's have a look and see what the Bible has to say. There are some things that fear keeps us from. And we're going to go through just a few of these here this morning. Fear can prevent you from serving others. Fear can prevent you from serving others. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, it says, "Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gifts of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind." So why does God give us spiritual gifts? So that we can serve other people in the body of Christ. That's the reason why he gives us these spiritual gifts. Paul didn't want fear to prevent Timothy from using his gifts to serve others. God has given each of us gifts of service. And if you're a believer today, God has given you a spiritual gift. God has gifted you to serve. But fear can prevent you from developing your gifts and serving other people as God desires. I am I'm quite proud of a few of our guys. Ever since we left to go to the United States, some people had to step up and take on some responsibilities. And some of those have kept those responsibilities going, and I'm very proud of them. But we've been asking a few of our men, we've been asking them to do things that, quite frankly, terrify them. Public speaking. You know, it's not easy to get up in front of you and speak to you, and especially when you haven't done it before. And so we've got some people in our congregation that get up and they make announcements, they do read the scriptures, they do the praying as well, and some of them have even taken on the teaching role. And it's something that they felt was a little bit out of their comfort zone. But they didn't allow their fear to prevent them from coming and doing what it is that God has called them to do. God has asked them to use their gifts in His church, and they didn't allow fear to prevent them from doing what God had called them to do. And I'm so grateful for these men. And I'm glad that they're willing to step out and work through their fears in order to be used by God. And I believe there are others whom God can use in our church, but the spirit of fear seems to be holding you back. Valerie can really use more people in the children's ministry who are willing to take on those teaching roles. And I believe that we have capable people here. They just don't want to take the responsibility, and it may be due because of fear. Don't let fear hold you back from using the gifts that God has given to you. Don't let fear stop you from serving others. Fear can also prevent you from sharing the gospel. And that's a big problem. In some countries, people who share the gospel are doing so at risk of their very lives. If they get caught sharing the gospel, they could be put to death. They could be fined. They can be jailed. It's a real serious issue in those areas. But in our country, I mean, we mostly worry about what people think or what people might say, or maybe we might offend them. Nothing like we see in other countries, and yet we still give in to fear. We find an early example of intimidation in the book of Acts when the Jewish authorities attempted to silence the apostles from speaking about Jesus. Notice in Acts chapter 4, verse 18. And so they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. I mean, hey, these are some religious leaders here, and they don't want them to speak out. And so he said, hey, look, let's think about this. I mean, if this is what God has called us to do, and you tell us to do something else, you be the judge of that. What do you think we should be doing? We should be listening to God. He says, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Boy, I love that. I absolutely love that. They couldn't help themselves. Isn't that amazing? They couldn't help but speak about Jesus. Tom Rainer, he comments on this verse. He says, early Christians had to be compelled to keep quiet. Christians today have to be compelled to speak. Well, how true that is. People need to hear the gospel. And out of fear, it's a big factor that's preventing that from happening. Peter talked about this in his first letter in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. It says, but even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. Let's just think about that statement before we move on. Even if you suffer for righteousness' sake, the Bible says you're blessed. You're blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense, an apologia, a defense of everyone who asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. This is what our responsibility is. We need to know the Scriptures. We need to know what we believe and why we believe it, so that when others come to us and they ask us about that hope that we have in Jesus, then we have an answer for them. That we have the truth that we can share with them, and we can share our faith. Don't allow fear to keep you from sharing your faith. Fear also can prevent you from following God's plan. God has a plan for your life. Fear can prevent you from following God's plan. God may want to leave you to some new and bold direction, and oftentimes we hold back because of fear. A good biblical example of this is Abraham. When God wanted to form a people, His own special people that He would call His own, He began with one man named Abraham. And we read in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, it says, now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. Notice the number of times He says, I will, in this passage of Scripture. I will. God saying, it's me. I'm the one that's doing this. But he goes to Abraham and he says, I want you to move away from your country. I want you to move away from your family to a land that I will show you. God didn't even show him where he was going. Now, if it was me, I'd be like, okay, God, let's have a chat. Let's talk. Where are we going? How are we going to get there? How long will it take? What do I need to wear? Do I need to take lunch with me? You know, what's the weather like there? Where am I going? Who's the people there? I want to know all the details. And this is why we talk about Abraham's faith. Because It required faith on his part to step out and do what it is God called him to do. He says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curse you. Notice that. This is one of the reasons why we as a nation, we need to be a friend to Israel. We need to not curse them. We need to be a blessing to them because of this promise right here. Because if we go and we curse Israel, guess what? That's going to come back on us according to the Word of God. And so therefore, we want to be a blessing to Israel. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed, he says. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him. Notice this. He departed as the Lord spoke to him. There's no debate. There's no arguments here. There's no what ifs. There's no but God. We don't see any of that. He responds whenever the Lord speaks to him. And Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. How many of you were under 75 years of age? Raise your hand. Most of you here. Most of you here. We've got a few of them that has crossed the line. But most of you here are under 75 years of age. Can you imagine at the age of 75 pulling up stakes and traveling to a foreign land because you heard a voice? It must have been a daunting experience just to get up and to go to a foreign land, not knowing what's waiting for you there, leaving your family, leaving your homeland behind. Abraham responded to God's call. But what if he had given into fear? What if he had just stayed where he was? We don't want to be like the children of Ephraim. Psalms 78, verse 9 says the children of Ephraim began being armed and carrying bows. They were ready for battle. Turned back in the day of battle. They had everything ready. They were right to go. But they chose not to advance. They chose not to possess the land that God had called them to. And as a result, they disobey God. God has a work for you to do here this morning. He has equipped you to do those works, but fear can prevent you from following God's plan. Fear can also prevent you from taking a stand for Christ. We read about the people in Jesus' day in John chapter 12, verse 42. It says, nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. Notice that. They believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. They had the truth. They knew the truth. They believed the truth, but they were unwilling to take a stand for Jesus because of the Pharisees and their own selfish pride. They believed in Jesus. They were afraid to take a stand for him. And maybe that may represent many of you here today. Maybe you believe in Jesus Christ and you have a belief in Jesus Christ, but yet when it comes to taking a stand for Jesus Christ, you're kind of afraid. You want to hold back. They were afraid to go public with their faith. Or maybe think about Peter. Peter was so afraid that he denied Christ three times. And afterwards we read in Matthew 26, verse 75, and Peter remembered the words of Jesus which had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So he went out and wept bitterly. It is becoming increasingly difficult to stand for Christ in today's world. And that's why it's even more crucial for us to address this issue of fear. One of the things that I've noticed in the Christian community since Charlie Kirk's assassination is that it has encouraged many Christians to find their voice. To encourage them not to live as an apathetic Christian, but to strive to make a difference in this world with the time that they have left. To proclaim the truth of Jesus. His death can cause you to live in fear, thinking, oh, well, if that happened, Charlie, then it may happen to me as well, and we can live in fear if we choose to do so, fearing for your own life if you speak out, or it can ignite a fire within you to do more to proclaim the name of Jesus. Is fear holding you back? Well, that's not from God. because he has not given us a spirit of fear, but he's given us a spirit of power and of a sound mind. Understand that the spirit of fear is not from God. Don't allow fear to keep you from talking about Jesus Christ. Don't allow your fear to keep you from making a stand for Christ. Fear not only prevents certain good things from happening in your life, but also it can also lead to bad things in your life as well. Some of the things that fear can lead to that may not be good for us is, number one, is it may cause us to hide from God. Whenever Adam and Eve sinned, God called them out in the garden. And in Genesis chapter 3, verse 10, it says, So he said, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid. Notice that, he was fearful. I was afraid because I was naked. And I hid myself. Now, it wasn't because he was nude that he was afraid. It was because he had sin. And he had committed that sin that God told him not to do. He says, don't eat of the tree. Don't eat of the knowledge of good and evil. And what did he do? He went and ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And now he has that understanding that he is naked before God. And when a child does something wrong, but is unaware of that it is wrong, we offer grace and instruction oftentimes. We don't condemn them for what they don't know. But Abraham was told not to eat of the tree and he rebelled. And as a result of his sin, he now lives in fear in the presence of God. Also, fear can lead to sinful compromise. In Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25, it says, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. The Apostle Peter discovered this when he stopped eating with the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to what Paul refers to as the uncircumcised group. You see, Peter was there and he was eating with the Gentiles and he was having a great time of fellowship with them, but then all of a sudden the Jews showed up and they believed that, you should be eating with the Gentiles. It's wrong to do that. It's against the law. And so whenever they showed up, he jumped up real quick and went over there in order to eat with them. He compromised his position. His fear led to compromise. Peter compromised his faith and he compromised the gospel. And Paul calls him out on it and reprimands him for this. Fear can cause us to compromise if we're not careful. But also fear can lead to outright disobedience. Abraham and Isaac lied about their wives, claiming that they were their sisters because they were afraid for their lives. They were afraid that the king would kill them. Moses' brothers Aaron built a golden calf because he was afraid of the people. Fear can lead to sin and outright disobedience to God. And so we need to be careful with that. We need to make sure that we are doing the things that God has called us to do, even in our fear. But let's get a proper understanding of fear here this morning. To get a proper understanding of fear, first of all, we need to understand the fear of the Lord. We'll talk about dealing with fear in just a few moments, but first I want to spend some time understanding this whole problem of fear a little bit better. We have been learning that there is a positive counterpart in Scripture for each of the problems that we have discussed and each of the problems that we struggle with. And we've seen in the Bible talks about a righteous anger, talks about a godly jealousy, a godly concern, and godly sorrow. Well, the positive counterpart to fear is what the Bible refers to as the fear of the Lord, which is overwhelmingly positive in the Bible. In Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. This is where it all starts. If you want to be wise, it starts with God, a knowledge of God, a fear of God. And also in Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13, it says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. This is what we are supposed to be doing. We are to fear God and we are to obey God. So what is the fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord is a deep reverence and respect for who God is. God is infinitely powerful, holy, majestic, and He is beyond anything that we can imagine. The fear of the Lord means standing in awe of God's awesome majesty. It is our appropriate response to God's being and therefore the beginning of wisdom. We must never forget the awesome power and majesty of God. The book of Hebrews reminds us in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. The fear of the Lord is a good and healthy expression of fear. And so, what is fear? What about the negative expression of fear? In one sense, you could simply say that fear is a natural response to threat or danger. Fear is similar to worry. We talked about a few weeks ago, but worry has more to do with uncertainty, while fear has more to do with a feeling of threatened, like you're being threatened. There is an appropriate fear response that God has built into your body, preparing you to deal with an immediate threat or danger. In fact, we talked about, when we talked about anger, we saw how the physical response attached to anger is exactly the same as the physical response to fear. When you get angry, you get mad, man, your heart starts pumping and you get that rush of adrenaline and your body prepares itself for action. And yet, whenever you're frightened, whenever you're afraid, sometimes when you got a kid come up and they scare you, you know, boo, what do you want to do? Oh, you know, you want to get mad and angry. You're going to punt somebody out, right? It's the same response, physically speaking. But there's a difference between being afraid and living in fear. God doesn't want you to live in fear. It's like what Charlie Brown used to say, I have a new philosophy, I only dread one day at a time. Well, we don't want to be Charlie Brown, okay? That's not what God has called us to do. It's okay to be afraid, but when we're in an immediate danger, but God does not want you living in fear. There's a difference. So, what do we fear? What are some things in life that we fear? Again, I don't have time to go through everything, but here's a few that maybe that you experience in your life as well. We have a fear of failure, and this is a big one, especially for me as well in the business that I'm in. I fear not doing my best for Jesus Christ. And so this is one that I struggle with from time to time. A fear of failure. This is a big one. Remember Jesus' parable to the talents. The master gave three of his servants some talents to put to work, put them to work, and then he came back, and the first servant took the five talents and turned them into ten, and the second servant took two talents and turned them into four, and then the third servant, who received the one talent, went and he buried it in the ground. And when the master returned, he asked him, "Why do you do that?" And his reply, Matthew 25:25, says, "I was afraid, and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what's yours." Boy, we can miss out on so much in life because of fear. So many good things that God has for you can be yours, but sometimes we'll miss out simply because of fear of failure. We're not willing to take that which God has given to us and use it for His glory and honor. But also, we fear loss. We fear losing our job. We fear losing our loved ones. We fear losing our savings. We need to hear the words of Jesus as He spoke to His disciples in Luke chapter 12, verse 32. It says, "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, to sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, there where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from God. Every single one of them. And God will provide for our needs when we put our faith and trust in Him. You remember what Jesus said. He says, you know, look at the birds out there. They don't have a barns which they're saving up for. And if I'm willing to take care of them, aren't you more important than they are? Don't you have more value to me than they do? I'll take care of you as well. We don't have to fear loss. But also, we have a fear of harm. We fear illness. We feel injury. We feel those things, and both to ourselves and to our loved ones as well. When fearing harm, we need to take God's word in Psalms 91 to heart. Notice what it says in Psalms 91, verse 5. It says, "You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walk in the darkness, nor of the destruction that lay waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. You can look and see how God is going to be dealing with the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. David is saying he has nothing to fear because God is his refuge. He has dangers all around him on a daily basis, and we do as well. Just look at the news. There's danger all around us. And yet, we don't have to be afraid. God doesn't want us to live in fear. But also, we may have a fear of death. It's only natural to be afraid of death and dying, and yet one of the reasons Jesus came to earth as a man was to free you from this fear. We read in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, "And as much then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise share in the same, that through death he might destroy him who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." The good news is that you don't need to be afraid of dying. You don't need to be afraid of death. Your time is in God's hands. Jesus is the good shepherd who will safely guide you all the way home. And when you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can claim the beautiful words of Psalm 23, verse 4. It says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." There is no reason for Christians to fear death. We have heaven waiting on us on the other side. There have been men back in the old days that have been threatened, and oftentimes they would tell those who were threatening them with a point of a knife, who's saying, "Hey, listen, you can't threaten me with heaven." And how true that is. We have heaven waiting on the other side for us. But also, fear of judgment. You would think that fear of death would be the worst fear, but there's even a greater fear. And that is the fear of what comes after death. The fear of judgment. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26 says, "For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there is no longer remains a sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation, which will devour the adversaries." This is a judgment that comes after death. And if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you don't need to fear this judgment. But if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, well, then you certainly should fear this judgment. For those who know Jesus Christ has already suffered the full penalty of your sin on the cross. So there's no need to fear because there's nothing else left to pay. And so let me encourage you here this morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, well, then this is a judgment that you will one day face. And so let me encourage you to get that right today. Come and know Jesus Christ as your Savior today. Call upon Him to save you, if you will. And so let's talk about dealing with fear. How do we deal with fear? We've talked about the problem of fear, and we've got an understanding of the problem of fear. So let me close by sharing with you 7 guidelines from the Bible that will help you navigate fear in your life. The first thing you need to do is, first of all, develop a healthy fear and respect for God. Develop a healthy fear and respect for God. In Psalms 27, verse 1, it's the Psalm of David here. It says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Max Lucado, he shares a story in his own life of how when he was a kid, he was scared to death of what he would call the wolf man. And he was convinced that the wolf man lurked in a room next to the stairs, and he would often wake up his dead when he needed to go to the kitchen at night to get a drink. And this is what he writes about his dad. He says, "He would then climb out of bed, arm himself with superhuman courage, escort me through the valley of the shadow of death, and pour me a glass of milk." I would look up at him with awe and wonder. And I would say, what kind of man is this? When we're afraid, we should look to our God, who is bigger than all fears, and ask with awe and wonder, what kind of God is this? What kind of God is this? Derek Kinder writes, the fear of the Lord is the fear that puts all other fears in their place. I like that. The fear of the Lord is the fear that puts all other fears in their place. When you fear God, you have nothing to fear. But also remember that God is with you. That God is with you. Isaiah chapter 41 verse 10 says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. We have mentioned earlier that the most common command in the Bible is do not fear. But the most common reason God gives you not to fear are these simple words, for I am with you. For I am with you. The prophet Isaiah shares these wonderful promises of God to his people in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2. It says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the river, they shall not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flames scorch you. God is with you no matter what trials and tribulations that you face here this morning. And notice what he says, when you pass through the waters, when you pass through the fires, it doesn't say that God would remove those things in your life, but yet rather he will be with us as we go through them. But also, know that God loves you. In Psalms 118, verse 6, it says, the Lord is on my side, and I will not fear. What can man do to me? What a great verse. If God is on your side, then what do you need to be afraid of? If God is for you, then who can be against you? It was this kind of thinking that gave George Whitfield courage to keep sharing the gospel, even under great pressure and threat. Whitfield was an evangelist back in the 1700s, and one of his general entries from 1742 reads, he says, I was honored today to have a few stones, dirt, rotten eggs, and pieces of dead cat thrown at me. I mean, I'm guessing that would probably be enough to keep many speakers away today, right? Apparently, it would have been enough to keep Napoleon away, for sure. But Whitfield knew that God was on his side, and that made all the difference. We read in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Listen, how do you deal with fear? Well, know that God is on your side and he loves you with a perfect love. Never forget that God loves you. And he has proven that once and for all when he sent his son, Jesus Christ, on the cross to die for your sins and to pay for your sins, the penalty for your sins, in order so you can be justified with him. He has proven that once and for all. God loves you with a perfect love. But also, you want to grow in your faith. When Jesus and his disciples encountered a storm at the sea, Jesus addressed them in Matthew chapter 8, verse 26. And he said unto them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? And they arose and rebuked the winds and the seas, and there was a great calm. Do you notice how Jesus here makes a correlation between their lack of faith and fear? You see that? Fear and faith cannot coexist. And so when you grow in your faith, it will lessen your fears. Remember when Adam and Eve, they hid from God because they were afraid. When your faith in Jesus Christ, when you have faith in Jesus Christ, you don't need to hide from God anymore. It doesn't matter how bad you've blown it. You never need to hide from God ever again. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12, it says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. As our faith increases, our fear decreases. And we can have that boldness and confidence in him. Build your faith. And one of the ways we do that is on the Word of God. We are to meditate on God's Word. In Psalm chapter 56, verse 4, it says, in God I will praise his Word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? What a great question. There is power in God's Word. When you've been spending time reading and meditating on God's Word, this will reduce the fears in your life. There are a number of promises in God's Word that we can claim that will help us when we're afraid, and when we can hide God's Word in our heart, and we can take it anywhere and everywhere we go. So we can bring it to memory. We can call whenever we are facing the fears in our life. But also, one of the things the Bible tells us is to be strong and courageous. These are the words of Joshua, words of God to Joshua when he took over the leadership from Israel and from Moses here. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe and do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you, and do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and be of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." There are so many examples in the Bible of people who were strong and courageous in the Lord. Joshua, as we read here, you have Caleb, you've got Gideon, you've got Deborah, David, Nehemiah, Esther, the Apostle Paul. As Christians, we should be the boldest and bravest people of all. We can do anything that God has called us to do because we have God on our side. We do not need to be afraid of anything or anyone. Proverbs 28:1 says, "The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion." That's how we should be as followers of Jesus Christ. We should be bold as a lion, fearless, moving forward, strong and courageous. And of course, we end like we did last week and the week before. We want to grow in the fruit of the Spirit. We want to grow in the fruit of the Spirit. When your faith is in Christ, the Holy Spirit works in your life and He changes you from the inside out. He changes your character to be more like Christ. And when it comes to the problem of fear, the fruit of love and peace and self-control are especially applicable to the problem of fear. Remember the verse that we began with here this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." Take that home with you here today, especially if you struggle with this area of fear in your life. Take that verse, take it, mark it in your Bible. Maybe go home and memorize it. What a great verse that is for those who are struggling with fear in their life. Listen, fear can prevent you from serving others, from sharing the gospel, and from following God's plan for you, and from taking a stand for Christ. Fear can lead you to hiding from God and sinful compromise and outright disobedience. But there is a better way. God wants you to choose faith over fear. And when you put your faith in Christ, Jesus not only forgives you of all your sins, but He has promised to help you with your problem of fear. Are you struggling with fear here this morning? I hope this is an encouragement to you. I want you to increase your faith, and in doing so, it'll lessen your fear. Let's go to the Lord and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for all that You have done for us, Lord. And Lord, as we think about this area of fear in our lives, I know oftentimes, whenever You've gone and asked us to do something that's we're not accustomed to doing, or maybe we're a little bit of afraid, Lord, I pray that we'd be willing to step out knowing that You're there with us. Lord, we have opportunities and times to share our faith, even in times when people are aggressive and hateful to us. Lord, I pray that we will remember that You're there with us and help us to respond in love, respond in faith, Lord. And I pray that you would cast out fear. We thank you, Lord, for your word here today. We thank you for your promise. We ask it all in Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen.